Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Stop. Watch your step. You're going to face the clerk and raise your right hand, please.
I solemnly swear that the testimony you shall give to the court in the matter now in hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I ask you?
All right, go right ahead, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
Did you become aware there was an order from this court to produce records?
Yes.
Did you receive a copy of that order?
Yes.
Who did you receive a copy of that
order? So we need Dr. Wolf to identify himself.
Please identify yourself for the record. Spell your last name.
Daniel Wolf, last name spelled W-O-L-F-E.
Who did you receive that order from?
I believe it was in an email forwarded from Miss Little.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Did you understand that there was a request for certain communications?
Yes.
Did you understand that you were supposed to turn those records over to the Superior Court?
Yes.
Did you turn records over to the Superior Court?
I provided a copy of that production notice to Miss Little.
Did you provide the records to the Superior Court?
I didn't directly email that to the court, no.
Did you indirectly email it to the court?
It was my understanding that it would be passed along to the court.
So you did not, pursuant to the order, provide the records to the Superior Court, did you?
Not directly to the court, no.
When you read the order, you understood what the order was requiring you to provide, correct?
Correct.
It was requiring you to provide all text messages?
Yes.
Did you provide all text messages?
I don't have any in my possession.
Did you look for any text messages that are not in your possession about this case?
Yes.
Okay, did you find any?
No, sir.
What did you do to look?
So I went through the phone that I presently have, and as I informed Ms. Little, last year I was under T-Mobile, was my carrier. Subsequent to that, I then switched to Verizon in, I believe it was November. So I made an effort to contact T-Mobile as well as get access to my T-Mobile account hub. Unfortunately, I was unable to get access to it or get any records prior to, or at least from my T-Mobile carrier. Then I went through my Verizon records that I have from 2025. I could only go back 3 months, and I provided those records.
How about emails? You didn't change email carriers, did you?
No, sir.
Did you provide all your emails from when you first were contacted by the defense?
Yes, sir.
And you provided every one of those emails to who?
to it. It would have been in the file that I put together for the production.
How many emails did you find between you and the defense?
I'd have to look at the order, but it was probably six to. Are you talking about present day or just from last year?
Anytime.
It was probably around a dozen or so.
Who did you correspond with by email on the defense?
Again, can you specify a time frame?
At any time. Who did you correspond with by email on the defense?
It would have been Mr. Jackson. Miss Little might have been on one of those emails. Mm-hmm. There might have been a couple other members. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Well, how about Miss Reed?
I don't believe she was on any of those emails.
You've never emailed or been on a correspondence with her by email?
No, sir.
And how about Mr. Iannetti?
He may have been on one of the emails. I don't know as I sit here today.
You communicated by phone with the defense, didn't you?
Yes.
And that began as far back as March 2024?
After our report was issued, yes, in March.
Back in March of 2024, you spoke on the phone to Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir.
A number of times?
Yes, sir.
And as you spoke, you began to become familiar with him and his role in this case, didn't you?
We corresponded about, again, our expected testimony here at trial, yes.
I'll ask it again. Did you become familiar with him and his role in this case when you spoke to him?
I understood him to be the defense attorney on the case, yes.
Did you speak to Ms. Little by phone?
I don't believe so, no.
Did you speak to anybody?
Hold on 1 second, please.
Thank you.
Did you speak to anybody other than Mr. Jackson about this case before the first trial?
I don't believe so, no.
Did you speak to anybody since then on
yes.
the defense team? Who?
I believe Ms. Little and Mr. Alessi.
Okay, and how about Ms. Reed?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you ever have any conversations that weren't on a regular telephone? You have a Zoom?
Yes, we have had, I believe it was a Zoom or a Teams meeting. We've had a couple.
When was that?
That would have been more recently to go over some of the testing that we've done.
Did you ever have any Zoom meetings before the first trial?
No, sir.
Did you ever have any group conferences before the first trial?
I don't believe so, no.
Were you ever on the phone before the first trial in a conversation where you and Dr. Rentschler both were on the call?
There may have been an instance of that. I just don't recall.
Well, think back.
I don't recall.
At some point, you were contacted by Mr. Jackson and you decided or you learned that you may be part of this case as far as a witness?
Yes, sir.
When you learned you were part of this case, did you have contact with Mr. Jackson before you testified at the voir dire?
Did I have communications with him?
Yes.
Yes.
And in those communications, you spoke about your role?
I think we spoke about logistics and coordinating my arrival here for the voir dire and certainly the trial.
Well, when you spoke on March 20, 2024, didn't you talk about more than coordination of logistics?
I'm sorry, what was the date?
March 20th, 2024.
So I believe that would have been the very first phone call that I had with Mr. Jackson.
Right. Was that more than about logistics?
Well, I think we were trying to figure out what should we do. I will note that this was a very abnormal situation for me, being involved in a federal investigation and then ultimately being called as a witness.
No.
Well, I'm trying to answer your question.
But you're not. Did you talk about more than logistics?
So are you finished with your answer, Dr. Wolf, or are you still answering?
I was still trying to answer.
Go ahead, finish.
Thank you. So as I mentioned, again, the situation was abnormal. I didn't know if we could get involved. I didn't think Mr. Jackson knew we could get involved. In terms of a path forward, would we be able to do more work? Could we review additional material? How could we work together moving forward? There was a lot of unknown, so there was a lot of uncertainty.
You done?
Yes, sir.
Did you talk about more than just logistics?
No, sir.
Did you talk about fees or structures?
I described to him our typical procedure when we intake a criminal defense case, right? There's typically a contract and retainer associated with that. So I described our normal procedure that takes place, yes.
So you talked about fees and scheduling and costs, what you charge.
I did talk about, yes, the contract and the retention letter.
When you talked about that contract, there was a discussion, wasn't there, about them hiring you, paying you, or retaining you?
Potentially. Again, I prescribed our standard procedure.
Why was it you were talking about fees and schedules if you didn't think that you were potentially going to get hired?
Again, I prescribed our normal operating procedure. I had no idea how it was going to work moving forward, which is why ultimately, immediately after that phone call, I contacted the Department of Justice to get clarification on that.
We'll get to that, but I'm asking you specifically, why were you talking about fees and scheduling and being paid at that point?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow it.
Again, because Mr. Jackson was interested, I believe, in calling us to testify at trial. So I explained to us the normal process. When a client reaches out and wants to engage us for trial testimony, that's typically, again, the procedure that we prescribe at ARCA. So that's why I had that explanation to him.
So you were talking to him about details about potentially being hired. Isn't that fair to say?
I don't know about being hired. I think, again, him utilizing us in the trial as expert witnesses.
Well, what's the difference between him utilizing you and paying you for that utilization and him actually hiring you? What's the difference in your mind?
Well, I think there is a difference because ultimately, after I got clarification from the Department of Justice, they indicated that they could not, the defense that is, sign any type of contract. There could not be any type of agreement or retainer.
I'm not asking what you determined later. I'm talking about the conversation you had on March 20th, 2022, when you were speaking to Attorney Jackson. That's what I'm talking about, okay? Understand?
I don't know that I understand your question then.
Okay. When you had a conversation on March 20th, 2022 with Attorney Jackson, you discussed potentially being hired, paid, compensated by Attorney Jackson or the defense for this case, didn't you?
We did, I did explain to him our typical operating procedure when a client reaches out for trial testimony. I went over that with him, yes.
I'm not talking about a client, I'm talking about this client. Did you talk about them potentially hiring or retaining you for work in this case? That's the question I'm asking you. On March 20th, 2022, not the 22nd, not the 24th, March 20th, 2024, did you speak to Attorney Jackson about them potentially retaining or hiring you for this case?
I spoke to him like I speak to any other client that would be interested in calling us as a witness.
Okay. And so after you spoke to them, you spoke to representatives of the United States Attorney's Office, and you wrote an email back saying that you were going to put the conversation on hold. Is that fair to say?
Correct, until I got clarification from them.
And at some point it was on unhold, right? At some point it resumed.
Yes.
When was that?
That would have been towards, I believe, the end of April.
Okay. The end of April. How was this relationship resumed? What was the contact, the conversation between you and anybody on the defense that resumed that relationship?
I think that I reached out to Mr. Jackson. Like I said, I think it looks like about a month had passed. And I had let him know that I had spoken to the DOJ and got clarification on moving forward.
Okay. So in April of 2024, you reached out to the defense and said that you had permission or a green light to move forward in the relationship with the defense in this case.
I had clarification from the Department of Justice, yes.
And that clarification allowed you then to work with the defense on this case?
Not work with, we could be called on the defense's behalf to testify. And for that matter, the Commonwealth could have also contacted us and utilized us at trial as well, if they should please.
So when did you become an advocate for the defense? Do you feel like you're an advocate for the defense?
No, sir.
Are you sure about that?
Sir, I'm on the science and in the analysis that I've done. That's the side that I'm on.
You sure are. Because after that 424 call, letting them know that the United States Attorney's Office gave permission for you to be called as a witness, you called them again that day, didn't you? Or they called you on the main line?
We may have exchanged a couple calls that day, yes.
Well, you did exchange a couple calls that day because we have at least some records. And when you called later that day, after telling them that you had permission, they could use you as witnesses, what did you talk about?
Do you have the records that I could take a look at just so I could see what you're referring to?
Do you remember having calls after you called Attorney Jackson and said you had the green light from the U.S. Attorney's Office? Do you remember having further calls that day
I think we had a couple brief conversations, yes.
Okay. When you think about it, do you remember them, or are you just saying you think but you don't know?
I don't remember. I remember that there was one conversation, I believe in early May, that I had with Mr. Jackson, mm-hmm. in which we engaged in a conversation where I gave him more information about my background, who ARCA was as a whole. I think we even got to talk a little bit about my family, my four kids and things of that nature, but it was a call about background and qualifications.
We're still back in April. You're moving ahead to May when you first started billing. I want to talk about back in April. Do you remember having conversations on April 24th with Mr. Jackson? Do you remember that?
I'm going to allow that.
I remember that there were conversations, yes. Specifically what they were too. I think they were brief, but I don't remember the specifics of them, no.
Well, in the brief conversation, what do you briefly remember about that brief conversation, Doctor?
Well, as I mentioned, I had finally received clarification from the DOJ, so I think I was letting him know that I had received that clarification.
Well, sir, you said that was the first call. There were more than one call. There was then two calls to the main line. What did you discuss with him during those calls?
Well, to be honest with you, the call to the ARCA mainline, mm-hmm. I don't even know if I spoke with him. That's just to the mainline, not okay. to me directly. So he could have spoken to a receptionist who then tried to get a hold of me, right? So I don't know if that specific call to the mainline was to me or someone else at ARCA.
Well, this is a new relationship, right? You're working on a contract with the federal government. You have only spoken to Mr. Jackson, according to you, twice. You don't remember the early conversations with them and what they were about?
I'm sorry, are we talking about now at the end of April still?
Yeah, I'm still talking at April. April 24, 2024.
Yeah, as I just discussed with you, from what I recall, it was relaying to him the clarification that I got from the Department of Justice.
Right, but that doesn't take more than one call, does it?
I don't know. He may have been in court. There might have been some phone tag. I don't know, sir.
Well, there was a 9-minute call on April 24th, and then there's two calls to the ARCA mainline, 3 minutes and 2 minutes. Do you remember any of those calls?
Again, when you say 3 minutes and 2 minutes, that makes it sound like, in all likelihood, he contacted the ARCA mainline, got a hold of a receptionist or my project manager, and couldn't get a hold of me.
Are you just making that up, or that's what happened?
Sir, that is my best guess. I don't recall from a year ago.
We're not asking you to guess. I'm asking for your testimony.
That's what I recall, sir.
Do you recall him calling a secretary on the mainline? That's what you recall?
He very well could have. I just don't know, sir.
But you're making a representation that you recall him using a secretary in the mainline. I'm asking what you actually did and actually said. Do you remember speaking to Mr. Jackson or anybody on the defense team after that initial call back on April 24, 2024? Do you remember those two phone calls?
Objection, Your Honor.
So let's get an answer.
I don't remember those phone calls specifically, no, sir.
Next question.
Do you remember the phone call on April 30th, 2024? Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that call, sir.
Okay. Do you remember the call on May 1st, 2024?
I don't have the records in front of me, but okay. Was that a longer call by any chance?
It was 40 minutes long.
Okay.
Yep.
So then, yes, as I just described earlier, that would have been the call in which I went over with Mr. Jackson a little bit more about ARCA, my background, my education, qualification, the kind of casework that I do, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And did you discuss issues regarding this case?
No, sir.
So during the 40 minutes you spoke, you never discussed any of your findings that had already been made?
No, sir.
You had never discussed any of your testing in this case during that 40-minute conversation?
No, sir, and it was all laid out in the report that was issued in February.
I understand the report. I'm asking you, did you have any conversations about it with the defense?
No, sir.
So in that 40-minute conversation, you talked about your family, your pastimes, ARCA, but never, ever talked about this case?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow it.
Correct.
You billed for that time, didn't you?
I believe that I kept track of that time, yes.
Okay. When you kept track of the time, did you submit that time and ultimately get money for that time?
Again, I routinely keep track of my time when I'm working on a project. So, okay. Yes, that time was kept track.
That's not what I'm asking you. Ultimately, that time that you kept track of, did you then submit it and get paid and compensated for that time? That's what I'm asking you.
Well, first off, I'm a salaried employee, so I don't get direct compensation when an invoice goes out. That invoice, when it's sent, ultimately comes back to ARCA. That doesn't come back to Dan Wolf.
Okay. So in order to get paid for that, you would have had to submit that time through ARCA to then forward it, wouldn't you?
Objection, Your Honor.
Going to allow it. Is that true?
Yes. I keep track of my time so that my boss knows what I'm doing. Yes.
Okay.
Your Honor, can we approach, please?
Who asked me that?
Me, Your Honor.
Yes.
Come on over.
Doctor, again, to focus you, we're on May 1st, 2024. May 1st, 2024, you had a conversation with Attorney Jackson.
Correct.
And at some point, did you submit the time you spent and forwarded it so that that could be billed?
Yes, and I will note that all of that time was actually tracked under the same project number that the work that was done for the Department of Justice was under.
So at the time you had that conversation, you were keeping track of hours, correct?
Something I routinely do, yes.
And do you know who ultimately paid that bill for that day, May 1st, 2024?
I know now that it was the defense, yes.
Okay. Now, when you billed, did you bill for the entire conversation?
I don't know.
You said most of the conversation was background, talking about ARCA, talking about your families.
Yes.
Right. Do you typically bill clients when you're spending time talking about families?
Again, that wasn't the entirety of the conversation. I think you just briefly asked me about my family.
Oh, now it's brief. Okay. All right.
Objection, Your Honor.
No comments, please.
Do you typically charge when you're talking about non-related work matters in your billing?
Sir, I think the majority of that phone call was related to, again, work-related topics.
Work-related, it took that much time to talk about ARCA?
And my background, certainly.
Yeah, okay. And how much was the majority?
Sir, I don't know that I can parse it out in individual segments or minutes for you. Mm-hmm.
And so after that May 1st conversation, did you communicate with the defense before June 9, 2024?
I don't believe so. I think from what I recall, next up was, I think, the voir dire. Alan contacted me, letting me know that the court wanted to do a voir dire of myself and Dr. Rentschler.
And you mean Alan, you mean Attorney Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you became friendly.
I guess first name basis, is that what you're referring
no,
to?
No, I'm saying, did you become friendly?
No, I wouldn't say that we were friends.
I didn't ask if you were friends. I said, did you become friendly?
I talk to him like I talk to all of the attorneys that I work with, sir.
What would you call me if you were going to address me?
Probably Mr. Brennan.
Yeah. So, do you remember the next time you spoke to Alan?
As I mentioned, it probably would have been sometime in early or mid-June.
Going into June, you were keeping track of all your communications with Attorney Jackson or anybody from the defense, weren't you?
I don't know if you mean, what do you mean by keeping track?
Well, do you have a folder where you make notes when you have communications with an attorney and discuss issues?
No, sir.
You don't make notes?
Not for brief phone calls, no.
For your billing, do you save phone records or text messages so you have some collateral evidence about the billing?
No, not when it's things about, again, logistics and traveling and scheduling, no, sir.
And by the way, when you put together your phone records and text messages that you sent to the court, in response to the court order. Did you have actual records?
What do you mean in terms of actual records?
Well, I see like a summary chart that was developed. Who developed that summary chart?
So that was, again, as I mentioned earlier, I was unfortunately unable to pull anything from T-Mobile. I just could not get access. Then what I did is I logged into my personal Verizon phone records, and I was able to go back for 3 months. I couldn't get back to December, I downloaded the spreadsheets and I extracted those rows and provided that.
Did you provide the actual records or just the spreadsheet?
Well, I provided the spreadsheet, which was pulled from the records. I would have had to redact a lot of phone numbers if I was to put in the full extraction, if you will.
So you didn't provide the full extraction?
I provided the full extraction as it relates to all of the contact between myself and Mr. Jackson and Ms. Little.
Did you ever delete texts?
From last year?
Yes.
Yes.
After you had text messages with the defense, did you delete those texts?
Yeah, after the trial concluded, I mean, that's something I routinely do. I'm not going to keep texts from Mr. Jackson, especially now that we're past a year. I would have no reason to keep those, sir.
I'm not asking for the excuse. I'm asking if you did it. Did you delete texts?
Again, it's something that I typically do. I communicate with attorneys all the time, whether it's for trial or inspections. I don't have a habit of keeping a text chain about scheduling or meeting or, hey, can we meet at this time or show up here? I just don't have a habit of keeping that type of text. So he's not my friend, sir.
So you didn't delete texts?
I think I just told you that, yes, I did delete the text.
Oh, you didn't tell me, but you just did now. Thank you.
Objection, Your Honor.
So next question, no comments, Mr. Miller.
How many texts did you delete in communications with the defense?
I don't know the number, sir.
You don't know the number?
I don't have the text. So you're asking me over a year ago almost about text messages. I don't recall how many there were.
All right. Was there 10, 100, 1,000? How many were there?
Of ones that I sent?
Not just what you sent. Either way, back and forth.
Probably, I don't know, maybe around 100 or so.
And when did you delete those over 100 texts between you and the defense?
As I mentioned, I think the last text that I remember was Mr. Jackson texting me, just thanking me for my time coming up here after the trial. Again, that was at the end of June. And then I didn't hear from him. And at some point, I don't know specifically when, it would have been last year, but I deleted those texts. There was no reason for me to keep those, sir.
Do you remember about when you made the affirmative intentional effort to delete around 100 text messages between you and the defense?
It would have been sometime after the trial, probably before I got my new phone in November, but it would have been probably in the month or two after the trial, sir.
Where were you when you were deleting this text? Were you at your office, at home? Do you remember sitting down and deciding intentionally you were going to delete over 100 texts? Where did that decision happen?
I have no idea, sir.
You can't remember deleting over 100 texts where you were?
Sir, I just said I delete texts routinely. You're asking me to specifically give you a location and a time when I deleted those? I don't recall that.
You said it was after the trial?
Yes.
And out of the 100 texts or so, who were you texting on the defense team?
I believe it would have just been Mr. Jackson on that.
Did you ever communicate by any other means, like Signal or an application?
During the time of the trial?
Anytime.
Yes, sir.
With the defense?
Yes.
Is it typical for a biomechanical engineer to use an application like Signal to talk to an attorney on a case?
Sure.
You know the benefit of Signal, don't you?
I mean, it's a messaging platform, yes.
Well, it's an encrypted app, isn't it?
What was that?
Encrypted?
I don't know, sir.
It keeps no record of the communication when you use an application like Signal, does it?
I don't know, sir.
Well, you used it. Did you have it on your phone that you were using it with other people?
No, I don't believe so.
So the only time that you use Signal in your career is when you were dealing with this defense team?
Yes, it was earlier this year. Mr. Jackson had communicated with me indicating that it was his preferred method of communication. So yes, we did exchange some messages on Signal. But this was at no point in time during the first trial.
Using the Signal app, was that your suggestion?
No, again, I think it was Mr. Jackson that said it was his preferred method.
Is that standard in your industry to use Signal when you're talking to clients?
I don't know that there's a standard out there, sir.
I'm asking about your standard. Is it your standard to use an encrypted app when you're talking to attorneys?
If the client has that preference, I don't have a problem with it, sir.
How many times have you done it other than this defense team?
Again, as I just mentioned, it was the first time.
How many conversations did you think you had with the defense team by Signal?
Again, it would have been just Mr. Jackson. And like I said, it was really, I think, just in the month of March. Of this year, but it was brief. I know that I think we exchanged a couple phone calls, and I remember the call quality was terrible, so we really didn't use it that much.
Okay, you're saying a lot of things. You're saying you think. I want to know your best memory. I don't want you to think. If you don't know, you don't know. How many times did you use signal with the defense to talk about this case?
Objection, Your Honor.
Going to allow it.
From what I recall, it was probably a handful of times.
When you say if what you recall, are you purposely being vague in case there's records, or do you not remember?
I don't remember, sir. As you mentioned, it doesn't keep a log of it, so I just don't recall.
Well, you don't have to rely on a log. You can rely on your actual memory.
Right, I'm telling you that I didn't keep track of it, so I don't know the specific number.
How many times do you think you talked by signal?
As I just mentioned, I think it was a handful of times.
I don't know what a handful means.
Probably around, probably 4 to 5.
Well, was it 4 or was it 5?
It was probably 4 to 5. It's the best estimate I can give you.
How long were the conversations on signal, the 4 to 5 times?
I think they were pretty brief. I'd say probably around 5 minutes or so.
You think each one was 5 minutes?
Probably 5 minutes, yes.
Are you putting it on a timer? Each one had to be a maximum of 5 minutes?
No, I'm just giving you my best estimate, sir.
Mm-hmm. How certain are you that the signal calls were 4 to 5 minutes?
Again, I just told you I'm providing my best estimate.
How confident are you the times were between 4 and 5 minutes?
That's the best answer I can give you, sir. I'm giving you my best estimate.
I'm asking you how confident you are.
Objection, Your Honor.
Can you answer that? How confident are you, Dr. Wolf?
I can't answer that anymore.
Okay.
When
next
you were
question.
Required by court order to provide all of the records to Your Honor, you knew that one of the important things you need to respond to were communications between you and the defense for Her Honor to consider, right?
Yes.
Okay. And signal is a communication, isn't it?
Certainly.
You looked at all your records and knew it listed the text messages and the phone calls. You knew that, right?
Yes.
You knew that was going to be a representation that you were making to the court about your communications with the defense. You understood that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And you wouldn't want to mislead the court, would you?
No, which is why I told you.
I asked. You didn't put anywhere in your response to the court order that there were communications beyond text messages and phone calls. You never, ever alerted the court or anybody to that, did you?
Again, because I have no record of it. I have no way of being able to tell when those took place or how many there were.
The question I asked you is when you responded to the court order to provide all communications, and you responded by offering text messages and you responded by listing phone calls, you knew that your signal calls were communications, didn't you?
I provide everything that I had in my possession, sir.
That's not what I'm asking you. You knew the signal calls were communications, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. And you never informed in your response that there were phone calls through signal as part of your communications, did you?
Again, because I didn't have any record like I do with the Verizon entries as well as the emails. There's nothing I had in my possession, sir.
Mm-hmm. You've read this court order, haven't you?
Yes.
Did you understand when the court was looking for all communications, it meant all communications?
And I've provided everything that I have in my possession, sir. Mm-hmm.
During those 4 to 5 signal communications, did any of these occur before the end of the last trial?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Did any of these signal communications happen before the end of the last trial?
No, like I said, they were all this year.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Now, at some point, did the defense send you a retainer agreement?
For this year?
Nope. Prior to the end of the last trial, did you ever get a retainer agreement?
No, there was no contract and retainer for the first
trial. After there wasn't a contract, did you ever receive a retainer agreement?
No, I don't believe so.
When you came out to the last voir dire in the last trial, did you have an agreement with any entity that was going to pay for your costs?
No, sir.
So you had no agreement that you were going to be refunded or compensated for your costs?
No.
Did you have any agreement that you were going to be compensated for your time?
No.
So when you were asked to come out and testify in this case, tell me, did you think that the defense was going to compensate you for the cost of you coming out here?
I had no idea who was ultimately going to pay the invoice, if an invoice was even sent.
Did you think that you were coming out here to testify for free?
Again, I don't know who was going to pay the bill. I'm not...
That's not what I'm asking you. I want to know, after having these conversations with the defense, and they asked you to come out here, Did you expect to be compensated for your time?
Again, I'm a salaried employee, so it doesn't matter to me. I'm sure my boss would like us to get paid, but no, I did not know ultimately who would pay an invoice if an invoice was sent after the trial.
Well, you were keeping track of your billing, weren't you?
I was keeping track of my time, yes.
And you kept track of your costs, didn't you?
The company does that, yes.
Did you?
Again, I enter my time so that the company can keep track of my time, yes.
When you came out here and made travel arrangements, did you have any conversations with anybody from the defense?
About the travel arrangements?
Yes.
Yes.
And as far as the travel arrangements, who on the defense was trying to help you with travel arrangements?
I believe it was Mr. Jackson.
Was there other people, associates, colleagues that were helping you as well?
None that I had direct communication with. I don't know if he communicated with others after that.
Was there a person named Kat? You ever hear that name before?
I believe that, yeah, she may have escorted me into the courtroom, I think.
Well, you don't believe, because that's a pretty particular name. So when you use words like you believe, you know. You know. So did you meet a person by the name of Kat?
I'll allow it.
I think when I arrived here, yes.
Well, without qualification, the simple question is you've met Kat, haven't you?
I think I met her. It was either at the voir dire day or the trial day, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, does Kat work for the defense?
I have no idea who she is.
Well, how did you know who she was? How was the introduction? How did that go down?
I just mentioned, I think she escorted me here to the courtroom.
Well, escorted you from where?
I think I drove here, I believe, in the church parking lot across the street, and I think she walked me over, and then ultimately when I was done, I think she walked me back to the lot.
Did you have conversations with anybody for the defense about how you'd get here and why it is in particular you would park at the church parking lot?
Because I had no idea where to go.
But who told you where to go?
Like I mentioned, I communicated with Mr. Jackson, who provided that information to me.
Okay. And did you have any significance about the church parking lot? Did that mean anything to you?
No, he had just indicated, I think, that they had reserved it and it was a spot that I could park my vehicle.
Okay. And when you got there, did you meet with anybody from the defense?
I can't recall if they were standing out there and we walked in together. I don't recall.
Well, I'm asking if you've met them, not whether you walked in together. I'll ask it again. When you arrived after these plans were made, did you meet with the defense before you came into court?
On the voir dire day, I can't recall if the defense was out there. I think on the day of trial, I think I met Mr. Jackson and maybe a couple of other members of the defense team.
Well, when you say you think, this was a pretty remarkable event coming to this trial, wasn't it?
Objection, Your Honor. Go ahead.
I'll allow it.
It's a pretty remarkable event, this trial, wasn't it?
It's unique, yes.
Yeah, it's unique. And so when you came here, having had all these conversations with Attorney Jackson, you don't remember if you met him before you came in for voir dire or came in for trial? You don't remember if you met him?
Well, like I said, I think for the voir dire, I think he was already, I believe, in the courthouse. So I think the first time I actually shook his hand and met him was the day of the trial, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And tell me, is that near the church parking lot that you met with them?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Was it near the church parking lot where you met with them?
Yes.
Okay. You shook his hand. This is meeting face to face, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a conversation about the case?
I don't believe so, no.
When you say you don't believe so, do you think you had a conversation about the case?
At that point in time, no. I was getting ready to take the stand, so I don't think we had a conversation about it.
You were speaking to the defense or Attorney Jackson on June 10th, 2024. That was before your voir dire testimony, correct?
I believe so, yes.
And do you remember what those conversations were about?
I presume it was about the logistics of when we were needed. And then I know that ultimately I served as kind of the primary point of contact where I think Alan would reach out to me. He would give me some information about the scheduling and kind of when we'd be needed. Then I would check in with Dr. Rentschler and then I would get back to Mr. Jackson. So there was kind of that channel of communication to try to figure out when we were to arrive and where we're supposed to go.
You're not saying that all your conversations with Alan were just logistics, were you?
I believe for the most part, yes.
So it took hundreds of texts, 100 texts for logistics?
Absolutely. I can certainly go into the day before my trial testimony, which was a very extensive travel day where I don't even think I left the Philadelphia airport.
We're going to get there, but there's a lot more communications before we get even close to that. Okay. Do you remember on June 10th having conversations with Attorney Jackson?
I do remember that there was conversations,
okay.
Yes.
Now, June 10th is 8 days before your testimony. Did you ever talk about an outline of your testimony or what your testimony would be?
No, sir.
Okay. You ultimately have more conversations on June 16th. Do you remember those conversations on June 16th?
Not specifically, no.
You don't remember them specifically? Do you remember whether or not you talked about the case with Attorney Jackson on June 16th?
We did not talk about the case, no.
Did you ever email with Attorney Jackson around that time?
In June 10th?
Before your voir dire.
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. So everything from your mind was just logistics at that point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you came in for June 17th?
I believe the voir dire was the 18th.
Okay. Do you remember having phone calls on the 18th with Attorney Jackson?
The day of the voir dire?
Yes.
I could have to let him know that I arrived.
So you check in with a client, tell them you're on their way, even though you're not going to meet them?
To let them know that I'm coming to court.
Okay. And so when you testified in the voir dire, then did you have further conversations with Attorney Jackson?
After the voir dire?
Yeah.
Yes.
And did you talk about the case?
No, sir.
You had to testify, or you came and you testified on the 24th?
That sounds right.
You had a number of phone calls before the 24th. You had a series of phone calls on the 17th, two on the 18th, two on the 19th. Do you know what any of those were about?
I think it was about the logistics of arriving here, because I know that I was going to, as opposed to driving, I know I was going to fly in this time.
Okay, how about the 21st and 23rd? There's a call on the 21st and two on the 23rd. Did you talk about the case?
No.
And so when you came into trial to testify, you were just relying on the opinions you had already provided in the past?
That were written in the February 12th report of 2024?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you had not talked about the case with Attorney Jackson or any member of this team?
No, it was all in the report, and that's ultimately what I testified exactly to at the time of trial in the voir dire, sir.
And you did not talk to Attorney Jackson or anybody else about the case?
No, sir.
May I approach?
Yes.
Showing you an email, do you recognize that?
Yes.
From you to who?
To Mr. Jackson.
Okay. And what's it labeled as?
Wolf Direct.
And that's before you testified on trials 24?
It's at 6 p.m. the night before I testified, yes.
So it's before you testified?
Yes.
Okay. Let me show you this document. Do you recognize that one?
Yes.
What's that?
That is the attachment to the email.
Okay. You recognize reading that?
Yes.
Do you recognize discussing the case before you testified on June 24, 2024?
Defendant's obligation.
This with him. This is something that I sent to him, that I did on my own, and that I sent to him. But he never asked this of me, and we never discussed it.
So you sent him what you thought would be the best questions and answers for him to ask you when you testified?
So this is something I routinely do when I work with attorneys, okay? I prepare this on my own to prep myself and prepare for trial.
That, please. There's an email with a document I'd like to attach this as an exhibit.
Okay. Exhibit one.
Exhibit
one.
So you assisted the defense before your testimony.
Hold on.
Where's the one with the comments on? Thank you. So you assisted the defense in anticipation of your testimony by sharing with them the questions and answers you thought would be most helpful.
Again, as I mentioned, this is something that I do internally to prepare. I sent that to him the evening before I testified at 6 p.m. I presume that he already had his direct examination done at that point. So I sent that to him, yes.
That's a lot of answers other than the one for my question. The one for my question
Hold the comments, please.
My question was, you had communications offering information to the defense before you testified in a way that you thought would help the testimony, didn't you?
Well, first off, I have no idea if he even read it or utilized anything from it.
But that's not really answering the question I just asked, is it?
Can you repeat the question?
Of course I can. So when you sent a direct examination to Attorney Jackson before your testimony, you communicated with Attorney Jackson providing information that you thought would best help your testimony in court.
Well, I think ultimately it's to help the jury understand my report and my analysis.
Do you think it's helpful not answering the question and just diverting every time I ask you something? Do you think that's helpful?
Sustained.
Do you want to answer my question or do you want me to move on?
I think I answered your question.
I don't think you did, so I'll ask it one more time.
Objection, Your Honor.
All right, no comments, please.
Do you think that providing a direct examination to the defense before you testified is in any way assisting preparing for your testimony?
Again, I don't know if he even utilized it, sir. And certainly if the Commonwealth had reached out, they could have gotten a copy of that as well. It would have been the same exact outline whether I testified on behalf of the defense or behalf of the Commonwealth.
You don't want to answer my question?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Did you ever make any comments or discuss the outline that you provided to the defense to help better the testimony for the defense?
I did put comments, yes.
When I just showed you that document, and you said you just sent it because this is a standard thing, why didn't you just tell us that you made comments that would assist the defense? Why didn't you share that when I just asked the question?
I don't understand your question.
You don't understand my question. I asked you about the outline, the direct examination you provided to the defense, and you gave me a response that this is something typical, but it's just an outline. You wouldn't answer whether it would help the defense or not, but the reality is you were assisting the defense, isn't it?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
You were making suggestions to help the defense, weren't you?
Sir, it wasn't to help the defense. It wasn't to help anyone but the jury understand things. As I just mentioned, that outline, if it was asked of, if I had sent one to the Commonwealth, you would have gotten the exact same copy.
You didn't send one to the Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth never reached out to us, sir.
So what you've said in this is there was a question about, so not being able to inspect the vehicle is something that is not uncommon in your line of work, and you wrote back, absolutely not, correct?
Correct.
And you made a comment to assist the jury, according to you, only to assist the jury. Not sure if you want to put this somewhere in the direct examination. I have a feeling they are going to argue I didn't personally inspect the vehicles. I had enough information from the material I reviewed, so it wasn't necessary. Need to show jury it doesn't matter in this case. Were those your comments to the defense before your testimony?
Absolutely, and it would have been the same argument probably from the defense if you had called me a witness about not being able to inspect the vehicle. I wanted the jury to have an understand that for the analysis I undertook, it did not matter that I did not physically inspect the vehicle, sir.
So when you're telling us here under oath before this court that you did nothing to assist the defense, you do not think that you making these suggestions on how to better the testimony for the defense, you don't think that's helping the defense?
No.
Okay. You said, not sure if you want to put this somewhere in the direct examination. So you're making suggestions to the defense about what you think could be helpful in the direct examination, correct?
Sir, there were never any conversations between me and Mr. Jackson about what questions to ask, what not to ask. Again, I prepared that internally on my behalf and sent that to him. Whether he utilized it or not, I have no idea.
Not my question. Not my question. What I'm asking you is when you wrote to the defense and said, not sure if you want to put this somewhere in the direct examination.
Yes, slow down.
Sorry. When you wrote and offered, unsolicited according to you, to the defense, not sure if you want to put this somewhere in the direct examination, weren't you trying to help, sir?
I don't believe so, no, sir.
And then when you wrote, I have a feeling they are going to argue I didn't personally inspect the vehicles. Who's they?
Well, it would have been the prosecution in this case.
But you're not taking sides. You're totally objective, right?
Sir, That is a question that's routinely raised when I testify about whether or not we inspected the vehicle. So I know it would be a potential issue that would be raised by either side.
So you were alerting the defense that you thought that this may become an issue, weren't you?
It was more or less to make sure the jury had an understanding that because I didn't physically inspect the vehicle, it did not matter for my analysis, sir. I wanted to make sure the jury understood that.
Don't hide behind the jury. I'm talking about your communications with the defense. I'm asking you specifically about your conversations with the defense.
That's two questions. Ask one question.
You wrote, "I have a feeling they are going to argue I didn't personally inspect the vehicles." That's what you wrote, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. The tone is the argumentation.
Did you write that?
Yes.
Right. And when you said they, you're referring to the opposition, the Commonwealth, correct?
Correct.
Right. And you offer an explanation or a way to deal with what the Commonwealth may confront you with, don't you? You make a suggestion to help the defense, don't you?
Again, it was to help the jury understand that because I did not physically inspect the vehicle, it did not matter for my analysis. That was the point I was trying to make.
I had enough information from the material I reviewed, so it wasn't necessary. Need to show the jury, it doesn't matter in this case. That's what you wrote.
Right. Need to show the jury. Yeah. That's what I was trying to make sure that point was understood, to the jury.
In your collaboration with the defense, that's not all you wrote, is it? You gave them discretion about things that you should or shouldn't say in front of that jury who you say you want to hear everything. Didn't you?
There were other comments, yes.
If you want the jury to hear everything, you wouldn't be relying on the defense to tell you what to say and not say, would you?
I don't know if I understand your question.
Okay, you'll understand if I read this. Number 19. Would it be fair to say that because you do a lot of nighttime visibility work, your cases frequently involve pedestrians? You remember that one?
Yes.
And then you wrote back, yes, unfortunately, there is a direct correlation between the time of day and pedestrian fatalities. You remember that?
Yes.
Statistically speaking, most pedestrian fatalities occur during the evening and night hours. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
So my specialty in the area of lighting and human factors results in a lot of my cases involving pedestrians. Yes?
Yes. Oh.
And then do you defer to the defense, not the jury, trying to give the full story to the jury, do you defer to the defense in exercising discretion on what you will or will not say to the jury back then?
Well, allow me to explain, if you will.
I'm asking you a question.
Well, let me explain.
No, I'm asking you, did you defer?
Answer the question first.
Did you defer to the defense on what information they wanted you to put in front of that last jury or not?
I didn't defer to them. The reason for that comment is a few reasons, sir.
Let me read it, and then you can give any explanation you want.
Hold on. Question, Mr. Brennan, then you answer, Dr. Wolf.
You said, if you don't want me to say this, that's fine. Are those your words?
Yes. Allow me to explain. Because, for one, I want the jury to have an understanding, again, the jury, to have an understanding of my background in lighting and human factors and how it relates to me seeing a lot of pedestrian impacts, right? So I want them to have that understanding. At the same time, I don't want them to get caught up in a statistic that just because there's more pedestrian impacts at night, that this alleged incident must have occurred because of that statistic.
Question 31. Have you been qualified as an expert in court before? And you wrote back, yes. Remember that?
Yes.
And then you made another comment. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I realize in my testimony, I said about 20 times when you asked how many times I've been qualified. You were referring to your voir dire testimony, correct?
Correct.
I misinterpreted your questions, which was my fault, but in looking at my D&T lists, it's 11 trials and 7 depositions. 18 testimonies total, correct?
Correct.
Not sure if you want me to clear this up or just leave it. Wouldn't you want to clear up a misstatement when you realize you had made a mistake? Wouldn't you want to inform the court, I stated qualifications I didn't have, it was unintentional, but it was a mistake?
Well, that's exactly why I put the comment in there, sir.
You put the comment, you didn't put the comment to the Commonwealth, did you?
Again, you all never contacted us, sir.
Did you comment to the court who you made the representations in front of? Did you let the court know that you made a representation that was inaccurate?
Again, that's why I put the comment in there to... Okay.
Did you inform the court about your misrepresentation?
No, I did not inform the court.
You relied on the defense and gave them the discretion whether they were going to clarify the record or not, correct?
But I provided the clarification, yes.
Mr. Brennan, could you move along, please?
As you sit here today, you don't really know how many communications you had with the defense before your last testimony, do you?
For trial one?
Yes, trial one.
I think it's all memorialized in the records and the emails that were produced.
The ones that were produced, but not things that were lost or destroyed or deleted, correct?
Again, there are records, even though the physical texts aren't there, there's certainly records of the calls incoming and outgoing as well as texts.
Do you remember when you testified in the voir dire, you were asked that before that morning when you walked into court, you had never met Attorney Jackson face to face?
Correct.
Right. But you met him in court that day, right?
I believe I met him that day, yes.
You were asked whether or not you had ever discussed at trial now, after the voir dire, on June 24th, you were asked whether you ever discussed the substance of any of your testimony. Do you remember that?
Correct.
And so when you shared questions and answers and suggestions by email, was the statement under oath, you and I have never discussed the substance of your testimony. Is that still truthful?
We never discussed it, sir. Again, I sent it to him on my own behalf. Mm-hmm. There was no discussion that took place between Mr. Jackson about that.
You made comments after this was exchanged.
That was sent with the comments, mm-hmm. sir.
And then you were asked whether you had ever been paid by the defense. You said no. You were later paid by the defense, weren't you?
ARCA did send an invoice afterwards, yes.
Did you talk to ARCA about that? About the billing in this case?
No.
You submitted your bill? Yes.
ARCA submitted the bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Klein, he was involved in the testing you did, wasn't he?
Yes.
Why is it that Mr. Klein didn't come in and join you? Who made that decision for trial?
Well, I think it was around, again, when we were talking about those June calls, I think that there was some discussion between Mr. Jackson and myself about Mr. Klein's involvement. And ultimately, he's also an accident reconstructionist, so it essentially would have been duplicative testimony. So we didn't feel, or Mr. Jackson, I don't think, felt it was necessary to call Mr. Klein as well.
That sounds like a little bit more than just scheduling, doesn't it?
I would describe that as logistics, sir.
Logistics. You had to describe what Mr. Klein's role was or wasn't in that report, didn't you?
I went over his background as an accident reconstructionist, yes.
Well, so you only talked about background, and from that the decision was made not to call him, or did you talk about his role in your testing and in your opinions?
I didn't talk about his role, sir. I think ultimately the decision obviously was made by Mr. Jackson, not
me. I understand that, but I want to know what the conversation was that led to the decision not to call Mr. Klein. It wasn't simply logistics. What was the discussion you had?
Well, I told him that, again, we're both accident reconstructionists. Dr. Rentschler is a biomechanical engineer, so there would have been essentially duplicative testimony from both of us.
Well, your report's never very clear who did what. Would you agree with me that the report is a general report that has yours, Dr. Rentschler, and Dr. Klein's name on it? Would you agree with me?
All three of our names are on it,
right.
Yes.
It doesn't distinguish who did what in that report, does it?
Correct, but I think it certainly was testified to at the voir dire in the time of trial.
Before the voir dire. When you spoke to the defense, did you explain to them what the different roles were for the different people that led to the decision not to call Mr. Klein?
Again, we went over our backgrounds, and I think from that you can deduce that.
I don't know what that means.
Well, if you're familiar with what an accident reconstructionist does and you're familiar with what a biomechanical engineer does, then you would be able to understand that.
Well, it would be easy to understand if you could just tell us what the conversation was. That's what I'm asking you about.
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow it.
When you had a conversation with the defense, did you tell them the role that Mr. Klein played in your investigation and in your conclusions?
Again, I told him that we are both accident reconstructionists.
Okay. And he chose you instead of Mr. Klein. Did you say there was a difference between you and Mr. Klein and what you did?
No, we were both a part of the testing, we were both a part of the review, so we had exactly the same role, essentially.
Did you tell him that?
No, I told him that we were both accident reconstructionists.
And you remember that's all you said about it?
Yes.
Okay. During the voir dire and the trial, did you get to watch any of the Commonwealth's experts?
No, I don't believe so.
Did you ever communicate with the defense about any questions and answers that could or should be asked?
No, but I will note that during the entirety of the first trial, the Department of Justice was closely watching it, and we had certainly a direct line of communication with them that they were giving us and providing us information about the trial as it was ongoing.
Did you ever communicate with the defense about questions and answers to ask?
No, sir.
Did you ever see anybody's testimony at any time during the first trial?
I might have seen a few news clips, but I didn't watch any specifically, no.
Did you ever watch anybody's testimony? Did you ever watch any of the reconstruction's testimony?
No, sir.
Did you, after the trial, spend any private time with the defense?
No, I left town.
Okay. You didn't go to lunches or parties or anything like that?
No, I went straight to the airport. Straight.
And, sir, is there any other communications that you've had with the defense that you didn't tell us about outside the text and the phone calls and the signal calls? Or any other communications that you can think of that you had with the defense?
No, sir. I've provided everything I have in my possession.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Lessie, do you have anything?
I sure do, Your Honor. Thank you.
Are we going to get to Dr. Rentschler today or not?
Well, you know how much time Mr. Brennan's...
I'm just asking you.
I hope so, Your Honor.
Okay.
May I approach the witness?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness for the document?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Wolf, I am providing you with a document. Do you recognize it?
Yes.
What is it?
It is the order for production of records.
And is that an order from this court?
Yes, sir.
And is this the order that you were provided with in response to recent matters with regard to this court and what you should or should not be keeping in terms of records and what you should be producing with regard to records?
Yes.
Could you please read the, excuse me, at this time, Your Honor?
I have it in front of me.
Okay, well, it's I understand. So if Your Honor has it, I would like it to be part of the hearing
sure,
record.
Sure, we can mark it.
Yeah, that's exactly, thank you, Your Honor.
Exhibit 2.
Thank you. I offered it into evidence, Your Honor.
Okay.
May I allow the witness to have that?
Yes.
Please? Thank you. Take that, Doctor.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.